action order, contact SOS at 1-800-825-1295 24 hours a day or text SOSKS to 847-411. No one deserves to be abused. SOS can help.
KVOE Live in Local, 842 Sunshine, 77 degrees.
KVOE, 1400 AM and 96.9 FM, live and local. This is Newsmaker 3.
Joining us on the KVOE Sutherland's Home Improvement Studio line is Hank Osterhout, the leader of Halfway to Everywhere Music and Arts Festival.
Hank, good morning. How are you?
I am tired. How are you?
I was going to ask, have you had time to totally decompress?
I wouldn't say totally decompressed, but I'd say I'm most of the way there. I still got a little bit of that air left in my mattress.
There you go. Well, from your perspective, Halfway to Everywhere 2023, how did it wind up going?
It went fantastic. Of course, it was pretty hot outside for a lot of the day, and that's just kind of the way things go, and I've got no control over it. And I actually don't mind the heat so much. But other than that, I think it was a fantastic showing and a lot of great crowd participation, and all the bands delivered, and I rate it 6 out of 5 stars.
Six, okay. We'll take that. We'll take that. I'll tell you what, we can have that many bands performing and getting everybody on time and everybody shows up. That's a great way to put on a fantastic show. So what have you heard from the participants? So well received, Hank?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, every year I'm always open to the feedback, and I always expect some kind of negative comments, but I haven't had any yet. Maybe the people are just being nice. I don't know, but you know, I've got I need to start keeping track of how many hugs I give out on that day. I'm sure I'm well over 1,000. But yeah, everybody seemed to enjoy it, and found some new, you know, a lot of people were introduced to some new bands that they're going to be listening to from now on. And it was I don't know if you guys were there late night watching Andy Frasco, but he really got the crowd moving. And I mean in every literal sense of the word, he jumped off stage and got in the crowd and got them to the entire crowd to basically move at his every whim. He said, "Okay, we're all going to go left." And the whole crowd goes left. "Oh, we're going to go right." And then they played Hava Nagila, and then he made them all spin around in circles, like the whole crowd in a big donut wreath shape. It was quite a spectacle. And, of course, all the bands. I now have 187 unread text messages from friends and bands. Thanks for, you know, including us, and we're really excited, and hopefully we can come back some next year and all the good things. All the good feels, which is what it's all about.
That was kind of led into a couple of questions that I had, one of which is you know, do you have a list of bands that are already basically in the hopper for 2024?
I do, and I'm not telling.
There we go. So there you are.
Can you say how many, I guess, would be next?
Well, I'm not. So that's where the question mark is. And I also learned last week, I can't tell you anything, Chuck. Spilling my beans left and right here. But the one thing that I was thinking, and maybe this is my age showing, it was about 6 a.m. on Sunday, and I'm finishing up my site walk and cleaning picking up, you know, empty bottles and cans and stuff like that. And I'm thinking, man, for as much effort and time that it takes to build the site and tear it down, I really think it needs to stay up longer. So I don't know. I don't know what that means. If that means maybe we do a Friday evening, all day Saturday, and a Sunday, and we expand it that way. I'm not quite sure. But I think that the format might change slightly, and hopefully it may just open up a little bit and have some more offerings for people to experience. But that's kind of my only note. So I'm thinking, you know, 28 is a pretty decent number of bands. In fact, there's probably very few small communities that even have 28 concerts in a whole year. So to put them all in one day is quite a feat. And you know, perhaps we expand that a little bit. Maybe we do a couple of days next year. And really, it's mostly me being selfish and not wanting to have to work 40 hours straight. If I could get a couple of sleeps in before I have to tear anything down,
right.
might be a little more bright-eyed and bushy-tailed when I talk to you the next week.
Speaking of kind of the different parts and components of Halfway, talk about the expansion of the art festival and also the very first run of the music video experience through No Coast.
Oh, yeah. You pretty much just said it. There's not a ton to say about it other than I really think that a big part of what makes this special is all of the different things you can do. I mean, yes, it's music, and there's a lot of bands you can see, but then I think that being able to sort of interact as you walk through the site, just the way it's designed, with all these other forms of arts and media is really crucial and also helps to highlight what we got going on. I got a chance to step into the 627 event space to check out how that was going, and it was really cool. Like, they had the music videos going on all the TVs downstairs, so you could hang out and dine and patronize the venue. And then if you went upstairs, they had it on a big screen. They had the sound system going, and it was such a really cool event. And of course, another excuse to get out of the heat, which was, I'm wondering if it's going to continue to be super hot on Labor Day weekend. I think about 50-50. The first 2 years were not terrible, but of course we were threatened by rain. And then the last 2 years were a little on the spicy side. That's another consideration for me.
Yeah, that's you had some spice going on Saturday, that is for sure. So, talk about the art aspect of it. Were the vendors happy? What were the crowds? Obviously, you mentioned the heat, especially during mid-afternoon. So were the numbers, were you happy with the numbers you saw as far as attendees?
Yeah, I think so. I think we were down a little from last year, but not anything super, super crazy. I think that perhaps the heat was a little bit of a detriment, and I could see that, when the sun started going down was when we really exploded with people. But I think otherwise, everybody had a good time and was happy. And we've actually sent out some surveys to our vendors and VIP to say, hey, tell us what you think. So, that's something we're always open to is feedback. Anybody listening who attended and has, either has a bone to pick with us for whatever reason, I need those negative comments somewhere. Someone's got to tell me something went wrong so that I know what to fix in the future. It can't all be good. Who knows? But to date, people are very kind and saying that they had a great time. So, I think that the conversation with the city for creating maybe more shaded spaces and seeing if there's a way that we could do like a circus tent or something like that you can rent misters or these like giant fans that have sort of a water element to it. But those are sort of the amenities that we think about year to year. How can we improve the experience? And so if anybody's listening and y'all went and you think, hey, that would be a great idea, or have other ideas on how to improve the experience, that's just reach out. Our ears are open.
Hank Osterhout joining us talking about Halfway 23, which was a banner weekend here with nearly 30 bands, and also the art festival, the first ever music video experience through No Coast Film Festival as part of the weekend. Looking ahead to 24, Hank, you've already mentioned about one major change, and that's going from free to kind of a low cost. For folks that haven't heard that yet, what are some of the different reasons and the factors into that decision coming up for next year?
Well, the two main things are capacity and sustainability. We are, like I said, we were a little down from the year before, but I still see the potential for growth of this event. And as we start to, the numbers were still tremendous, I'll put it that way. And if we start to get too many more people, if this grows in the way I want it to grow, we're going to have to be very mindful of how many people are on the site at any given time. And because that's just, it's a safety issue. You don't want a whole bunch of people crowding in a space and then say some disaster happens, like a lightning strikes or whatever, or something catches on fire, and then we have a bunch of people trampling over each other. We don't want that. So we need to make sure that we can follow safety protocols and make sure that everybody is safe while they're having their experience. And then, of course, sustainability is a thing, too. That's one of probably the most common question that I'm asked about this event is, how in the heck do you pay for this thing?
Yeah.
And, of course, we have some great sponsors that really help carry us across the finish line. Of course, you guys, KVOE, and we've got the Kansas Creative Arts Industries Commission, Visit Emporia, Mitchell Markowitz Construction, First Choice Plumbing, Shoal Construction. The list goes on and on. Of course, Radius and Bourbon Cowboy let us run amok in their businesses for the day. Undown Gravel lets us use their facilities and their pop-ups, and it really is it takes a village to raise this child. But, you know, we also, that growth also comes, like, just in the need for a little more revenue. So we're, you know, charging $10 for the event is, it's nominal. It doesn't, you know, everybody, I think, can afford a $10 thing. If you look at festivals across the country, you can't get into an event for under 100.
You can't park for 10 bucks, Hank.
Man, that's
no,
true.
No, you can't. I know. That's absolutely true. I mean, I just bought a pair of tickets to a show at the Starlight coming up in a couple of weeks, and it was close to $200. That's just for one concert.
Yeah.
So we want to still stay low cost so that it's accessible to everybody, but it needs to cost something just so that we can pay our bills and also grow. That's part of that growth. If we want to bring in more acts that have a wider reach, that costs more money. That's the main concerns there.
You know, it's probably tough to tell, you know, as far as the attendee numbers go, because obviously there's no tickets to get in, so it's tough to count folks that way. But what do you estimate attendance-wise, Hank, last year, this year?
I'd say that we probably had about 2,500 this year, maybe 3,000. It is really hard to calibrate. We do have a free ticket link that people go and claim, but you don't have to do that. And in those tickets, we had about 1,500 that were claimed. And I always estimate that maybe that's less than half of how many show up. And usually the people who claim those tickets are people from out of town who aren't necessarily familiar with Emporia or the process. So of those 1,500 tickets that were claimed online, the vast majority were Kansas City and Wichita, and then we had a bunch of outliers from all over the region, from Nebraska, Texas. I think we had a couple people from, like, the East Coast that came out. And they're also the ones who respond the most via email. Hey, we picked up these free tickets. Where do I go? How do I get this? Am I still okay to go? Are you going to mail me a ticket? And they have a million questions. And part of that, we've been doing that all as sort of a means to set up a process that we can begin to actually take tickets. So now that we've sort of got that under our belt, now we can look forward to the future and do our ticket thing.
And one other thing, too, you mentioned here about that reach, obviously the $5,000 tourism grant that you got that big check for, that is definitely going to help you expand the marketing reach here out of the state walls, I guess you could say.
Absolutely. That's a big part of it. I mean, you know, especially having Visit Emporia as being one of our main sponsors, you know, their whole goal is to get people to visit Emporia. It's not just a clever name. And, you know, we hope that in the long term, a lot of those visitors may be influenced to become relocators. Say, hey, we've got a lot of cool things going on in Emporia. They really care about their community enough to provide them with these sort of programs. Maybe we ought to take an investment in ourselves and move down here and be a part of the scene.
Well, it's a great event, Hank. Take a bow, my friend. Another excellent job. Boy, the acts were tremendous, and how you pull it off is quite amazing. It's quite an amazing feat. So congratulations on another well-run event, Hank, and we look forward to getting after it and helping any we can for next year's Halfway to Everywhere.
You bet. You guys are some of the first people I tell about any news that I get, because I know you do a great job.
I'll do a better job next time of asking you what's available for public release next time.
No, that's good. I'm glad you do that, Timmy, because it's great content, and B, it kind of forces my hand. Now I got to get to work on some of these things.
You got to do it. All right, thanks, Hank.
Hank, enjoy.
Absolutely.
Take it easy.
Yeah, have a good one, guys.
All right, you too. Hank Osterhout, the lead organizer, Halfway to Everywhere. Great job there. And also want to give a shout-out to our very own Tegan Trahoon, who was down there all day. For us, we were sponsor of the event. And I just got to thank Hank for that great banner they had on the KVOE stage.
Ooh.
Yeah. A new banner out there this year. Looked really, really good.
And yes, sir.
Taking it a great job down there for us, doing some YouTube stuff and live remote broadcasts. So appreciate Tangen and the work he did.
Absolutely.
Last Saturday. Nicely done.
All right. Tomorrow's Newsmaker 3, and we have a couple ones coming up here for the rest of the week. Jesse Solis, as we mentioned here.